Thank you, Pastor. Man, we're having church this morning, aren't we? Glory walk around and singing the songs. But some of the songs that we sang this morning really touched me. And I think of my heritage in the Lord. A lot of you don't know, but I was raised in Africa. My first language that I spoke was Shangaan. And that's a language that I learned before English. Why? Because my parents were missionaries with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada to South Africa, and I lived 70 miles from the nearest town for 6 or 7 years before we moved to Johannesburg. And so I spoke Shangaan. You see, I'm pretending I'm in Shangaan land, but then I was saved at a very young age, being raised around my mother's apron, my father's words, preaching. And I've been saved for over 76 years, which is a good time, and nothing can replace the heritage that so many of us are fortunate to have had in the past, knowing the Lord from a young age. But then when I was 20, after I grew up there and learned a couple more languages, one was English and one was Afrikaans, and then I learned some Zulu as well while living in Africa. And so then I came to Canada. I'm just giving you before we get into the word. And by the way, Diane was right in one word. I'm not a guest speaker. I'm a member of this church we happen to be. So I'm not a guest. I'm part of you. And by the way, it is so lovely getting to know a lot of you and appreciate you, your friendliness and your smile. And Giselle stands out in my mind as a loving woman, along with her husband, Pierre. What a man of God, what a word that he preached when I was here the first or second Sunday. And I appreciate the word of God that we're getting from our pastor as well. It is so good. It's so wonderful to be part of this. So when I was 18, I moved to Canada, went to college in 1954 to Bible College. And that's where Wally and I were in the same class. And they got married 2 years and then skipped out of Bible college for 9 years. And then during that time, I was involved in police work. So I've had a police heritage and a preaching heritage because I pastored after that. But after 9 years, I came back after my father was taken home to glory ahead of time because he was only 59 when he passed on. Cerebral hemorrhage, and 3 hours he was gone to his reward. Getting ready to go back to Africa for the 4th 7-year term that he had and my mother had in Africa. I went back to Bible college, got into the ministry, pastored in a couple of churches, and then made application to go back to the country that I love, Africa. My wife and I were so glad we put in our application, but we were not sent to Africa because of there was other places, other countries that needed missionary badly, so they didn't send us. So I said to them, by the way, you mind if I go and be like Paul? What did Paul do to support himself? Tent making, didn't he? Well, I didn't do tent making, but I did another business line in terms of making support for myself. And Shirley and I and Bruce and Carla went to Africa. And we spent 10 years in Africa, and I was involved in teaching in a Bible school. I was involved in promoting gospel music because of the groups that were willing to come out to Africa to sing, preach, and pray to all the people in Africa. And we had a wonderful 10 years in ministry there. And then after that, I came back to Canada. I'm just giving you a synopsis, by the way. Came back to Canada And because of the police experience, and I won't get into that right now, I became an instructor at the academy and I wrote a book. And the police commissioner of Ontario appointed me to head up a program of training police departments all over throughout Canada, and as it ended up, in 50 countries of the world. So in 10 years, I was teaching police work around the world, in Japan, in Israel, in Australia, New Zealand, Africa, Israel, you name it, Germany. I was in Belgium, I was in Holland, I was, 50 countries, but anyway, that's a long story. But everywhere I went, I was involved in Christian ministry because that's where my heart is. That's where it really counts, is to know your Lord, know Him truly, and know what His Word says. And this is what I've been hearing as I've gotten here. I enjoyed Pierre when he spoke the other day, and I thought, man, there's a man that knows the Word of God. And I enjoy the pastor here as he preaches the Word of God. And that is my heart and prayer, is that we are knowledgeable in terms of what the Word of God has to say to us. If we don't know what it says, where can we get our source of strength? Where can we get everything that we need, which we can have, and it's found in Jesus Christ our Lord? His Word is preeminent. And so this subject that I've chosen to talk about today fits in with what I've been hearing, and as I love to teach, I've got notes here, and I've printed out all the scriptures, but you have a Bible in front of you, and I would appreciate if you'd get that Bible open and turn to some of those scriptures, because they will bless you as they find entrance into your heart and life. You see, the promises of God are yea and amen to who?
To us.
Those that believe. Right? The Lord has made many promises, and they're there. But they're only useful to the ones that believe. Do you know what these promises are? That's the challenge in my life, and it should be in all of our lives. Know what God says. Then you know what to base your actions, your words, your everything on, because it's where we can get true life and soul. It's like having a checkbook or a credit card and not using it. What benefits do we get from that? Nothing. We can't buy anything if we don't use the money that we have in the checkbook or in a credit card unless we use it. And so knowing what the promises of God will bring about a change.
Amen.
Now, that's my subject, change. Some things need to have a change in our life. You look at your own situation. You look at your own life. What would you like to see changed in your life? In the way you live? In your well-being? Is that where you'd like to see a change? Change in your condition of health? Would you like to see a change there? I'm going to talk about briefly that a little later, but there's a lot of things that we could visit in terms of subject, and I can't. If we were in Africa, by the way, the service is not going to be out for 2 hours more, right? Because the church just goes on, and people enjoy the presence of the Lord, and where the Spirit of God is, there is peace and so on. But anyway, we don't have that luxury here. Or perhaps the main question that we should have on our hearts in life is, what would Christ like to see change in your life? For your good and for His glory. It all fits, folks. I'm going to say things slowly because I want them to sink down in your heart. What would Christ like to see changed? We have convictions, and sometimes we don't follow them. We have convictions that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and brother and sister, we should follow them. We will end up being beneficiaries to his blessings if we obey them and believe them. So, the main thing is our understanding and appreciation of the word should be our prime purpose and target in life. In coming to church, what can I learn today that would benefit me? What would be beneficial to me and also to the work of the Lord? So I'd like to lead us in through a few scriptures that the Bible talks to us. And the first one is John 17, verse 17. Now you'll find the Bible in front of you there, and you'll see. Christ's prayer for us was to sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. You see that? John 17, 17. You see, truth cannot be determined by consensus. Now, do you know what I mean by that? If 6 or 10 of us agree on a certain statement, does that make it true? Not at all. Truth cannot be determined by consensus. You can have a lot of people agreeing with you, and you could be totally all wrong. So, truth comes from only the scriptures, from his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, what does it say? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then the crux and the criteria is rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, understanding what the word really says and the truth of it, because God's word is yea and amen to them that believe. Another thing that the Bible says in Psalm 119, turn to that. Psalm 119, it's a big long psalm, but we're only going to point out a couple verses. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. You see that? The entrance, as the word becomes involved and embedded in our lives, it brings light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, it says there. In other words, it would give understanding even to those that maybe find it hard to understand. The weakest capacity of us would be able to understand. Even though you're a wayfaring person, you will not be left to err in God's word. It's very clear. And the Spirit is there to lead you and guide you. In verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Do you long for the commandments of the Lord? That's where you'll find peace and happiness, when you know God's word. Look unto me, verse 132. Look thou unto me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do to those that love thy name. Those that usually do those love thy name. Those that usually love thy name, he is so merciful to them. And then our prayer should be in the next verse. It says, order my steps in the word, in thy word. That's how I want to order my life. You would be wise to have that same prayer, or pray that with the psalmist. Order my steps in thy word, and not let any iniquity have dominion over you. If you don't follow God's word, you will not have the strength to overcome what Satan has in store for you. Now, just incidentally, the onus on us for salvation can be seen in Ephesians 2, verse 8. I'm sure someone can quote that verse off the memory. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Now, you know, that scripture might just go over your head, but if you dissect it and think about it, it has a very important aspect that we need to have prime in our thoughts. You see, God's grace provides the work. It's by Christ. But we must accept it if this gift is to be ours. I can say, come up here and I'll give you this or that, and you'll never get it unless you come and get it. Come and take it. And God's word says that grace of God provides our salvation, but it's for us to believe and to accept it. Not all will receive the gift, which Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. It's clearly in his word that the provision is for everybody. Not anybody is turned away from the grace of God. But not everybody comes and he receives it. And that's where the problem is. Because it goes on to tell us that wide is the gate, right? That leads to destruction. Many there be that go in there. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Because they do not accept it. So, 119, look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. And here's the purpose for hiding the word in his heart. That I might not sin against thee. If you hide God's word in your heart, it empowers you not to fall and yield to Satan's temptations, to the sins that so easily beset us, to the temptations that come our way. And also reminded the fact that sins are of commission and omission. Think about that. We commit sins, and sometimes when we don't do something we should, we end up sinning. So these kind of things can be guarded against by bringing the word of God. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Verse 12 says, teach me thy statutes. That's a good attitude, you know, being willing to be taught. Now, anytime that you are in an area where you can receive from the word of God, love it, cherish it, go to it, if it's the word of God. And we don't have any excuse for anything other than the word of God in this community, in this church. I know Pierre does a good job. I haven't been there, but if I stray away from far away, maybe we'll get in sometime. But, oh man, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. See, a lot of us aren't preachers, a lot of us aren't teachers, but we are testimonies to those that we come in contact with. Share what God has done for you. And with the help of the word, you can get that message across. And then look at verse 15 of 119. It says, I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect to thy ways. That's what we need to do. Meditate on his precepts. And verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Man, this is what we need in our lives. Our attitudes. Search for and find and meditate in the word of God. So what major factors or thoughts do you have that take preeminence in your heart and in your mind and in your life? Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But there's another way of saying that same thing. So he becomes. If you think on something hard enough, you become what you think. So if you fill your heart and mind with the word of God, guess what fills up? What takes over? Who gets the blessing? You do. And the Lord gets the glory. Right? So, Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Wouldn't you like the benefit with life and peace? Well, don't be carnally minded. Be spiritually minded, as that verse says. So, do you have a wish to see a change on the inside and the outside of your life? One needs only to be filled with a good substance, and the only substance worth having and considering is the Word of God. Anyone can experience and have bumps in the road of life, but not every problem comes from an internal source or a cause. But most would like to blame other things. Oh, he made me do it. Who is it, that guy? Who's it? Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Remember? He blamed somebody else. But, hey, we must be from the same era, age, okay, to remember Flip Wilson. But if I were to come to your home and look in your garden, it would not take too long for me to realize what you had planted there, because I would see what was evidence, the fruits of your labor, the fruits of what you're planting. You planted or allowed to be planted what I would see there. But better yet, Jesus knows what you're planting in your mind, in your heart, in your life. In every experience that you go through, the Lord will help you. You know, this is not just applicable in the natural, but it's very applicable in the spiritual as well. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." How? Through the knowledge of God. Do you know God? Do you know about God? Do you study God? Do you think about God? Do you meditate on God? And verse 3 says, "According to his divine power, hath given." Now, hath means it's in the past tense, right? So he's provided it. He hath given. Right? All things, it says, that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. That's what the Bible says. Study that verse. Look at that verse. And by the way, I just want to insert at this point that I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, and maybe some of you write them down, some of you don't. Doesn't matter. If you'd like a copy of them, just ask me. I can email these to you, and then you can muse on them later on. I pray the Lord, though, gets them started in your mind and that you think about it. All things. So what do you need? Do you need healing? Do you need peace? Do you need prosperity? Do you need relationships to be improved? You name it. His divine power hath given. The ability is there. The provision is there. Hath. You don't have to go and ask for something that has been given. You just have to receive what has been appropriated and given for you. You can't do it in your own strength. Lord knows we've all failed. So, his divine power hath given, that says in 2 Peter. Don't wait for a bolt of lightning to hit you from the outside. It comes from the inside by what God has planted there. If you partake of his word, and realize that his promises state that you have or can have. All you have to do is accept it by faith. Accept it by faith. It's there. It's freely he has given. Freely to be received. And you know, faith is so important. Because James, you need to mark this down. James 1, verse 6 and 7 says this. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." But verse 7 says, For let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord if you waver. In other words, that element of doubt gets put into your heart, mind, and thought pattern, and that destroys and takes away what you can receive. Do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? You can have it. He's provided for you. See, faith is seeing something from God's perspective. He knows what He has provided for you, doesn't He? He knows everything. It's there. So look at it from God's perspective, and you can have so many things that you're doing without right now by not receiving. That's where we need to get started, to start operating from. What He has stated can be trusted. Anybody that's been saved for a long time can say amen to that. Amen. What He has stated can be trusted. We know that. Hallelujah. Preparing for the stance can be started by, and we know, Ephesians 6. Look at it, and I'll touch on it. Ephesians 6, verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And how? Look at verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with, number one, truth. What is truth? His truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness? No, His righteousness. It's yours. He's given. He's provided. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. We know the gospel of peace. We are beneficiaries of the gospel of peace. He provided it for us. Verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. Faith. So important. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. You and I have been recipients of the salvation that has been provided through God's grace and by your acceptance in faith. And last but not least, in verse 17, it says, the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is the sword of the Spirit? Well, keep reading the Word of God. That's what it is. The strength and power of the Word of God is so important. If you don't know the Word of God, where is your strength? Nothing you can say. Remember those guys that came to Paul and saw the wonderful things that were happening? They saw the people being released from demons and stuff. And the other people said, oh, we want that power. They wanted to buy the power. And what did the demons say? Hey, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? We don't know you. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And if we want to see change for good in our lives, we have to apply that word. Amen. You can go to philosophers, you can go to psychiatrists, you can go to teachers of this and that, but yet the source to go where we can benefit the most is from the Word of God. We have to apply that word and get it lodged down deep in our hearts, because in a moment of crisis, if we have that knowledge in our hearts and lives, we can draw and overcome in the name of Jesus, not your strength or mine, but in Jesus. So, if we would like to see a positive change in our lives, it would be insanity if we expect to see a change by just praying for different results and then carry on doing the same thing over and over again. You get that? It would be insanity if we expect to see a change by just praying for it and then just carry on doing what you're doing. You know, that applies in other fields too, doesn't it? If we ask the Lord for health and strength and carry on doing the bad habits that we're doing, it's insanity. We've got to change. Something has got to change in accordance with God's word. It applies into every field. Some get so used to being so miserable, they don't want to change. They're afraid to change. So they get used to it. That's so sad, isn't it? So sad. You're going to have to get to the place where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then you'll be spurred into perhaps making the change. Now, I want to draw your attention to this fact. In 2 Kings, go with me now to 2 Kings chapter 7. This you need to follow in your Bible. Let me just set this up. The siege of Damascus was being held against the people of God, and the Syrians were coming and surrounding the city, and they were starving. They were literally dying. So let's catch it up here. 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now you see, Elisha's telling these people. Then a lord, or a person that the king depended on whose hand the king leaned, in verse 2, answered the man of God and said, listen, here's where doubt came. Look at these words. "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" You know, he doubted what Elisha was saying. So he said, Elisha said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." You see what Elisha told this man that had doubt? So this is where the leprous men outside of the gate got sick and tired of being sick and tired and hungry. The story, as you know, if you read that scripture, these leprous men weren't allowed in the city because of leprosy. So they were outside trying to edge out their livelihood by scrounging and getting whatever they could. But look how they took action because of the situation that they were all facing. In verse 3, 2 Kings 7, verse 3, "And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" You see, when you come to a place where you're willing to consider making a change, it is then that man's extremity is God's opportunity of magnifying his own power. And if you know the story, and I don't have time to go through it all, you will find out that God provided a sound of a great army that was coming upon the Syrians who were encamped around Damascus, and gave them such a fright that they all took off and left their tents and left everything there. And these men went out to see if they could get scrounged some food, and found out that there was nobody there, and there was a lot of food, there was a lot of gold, there was a lot of provisions that the Syrians had prepared to take the siege on. Look at verse 9. "Then they said one to another," after they realized that they had something here, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Now if we tarry until the morning, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." See, the good news. They had observed what happened. They found lots of food. They found lots of provisions. But the people behind the gate of Damascus didn't know that the army was gone. So these guys said, "Hey, we better go and tell them." So the return of peace was experienced through the instrumentality of some people making a change. They changed their situation by being willing to go and tell the good news. You know, that's something that we can do, by being willing to share the good news with those that we come in contact with, next door, in our class, at our work, wherever. We've made the change. We can share that change. And then that instrumentality can be used to bring honor and glory to the Lord. But look what happened in verse 17 to the doubter. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake unto the king, came down to him. You see, he doubted, and so he was not a beneficiary of the blessing. So with faith, we can do so many things. What are the Syrians in your life? Who is encamping around you, threatening you? Do you want to see a better situation? It would take a decision on your part to make that change. It will come from within. If God's word is there and is the foundation of your life, will it conform to his word and live life with a capital L? Is that possible? Life with a capital L can be yours if you incorporate it. But if it's not within, where can it come from? Where will the source of blessing be? Not in your words, not in man's words, not in man's plans, but in the Word of God. You know, the Bible is not just a book about God speaking to us. It is God speaking to us. It's not about him speaking to us. He is speaking to us. 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to get this in your mind, this scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written, why? For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, we can't live long enough to make all these mistakes ourselves that we are experiencing. So learn from the mistakes of others. We see them in God's word, how these people reacted to what God had said, and they lost out because of failing to follow God's word. But we can't live long enough to make all these mistakes ourselves. Kevin. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He is there to undergird us through all circumstances of life. Look what verse 13 says in 1 Corinthians 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. How? Through believing his word. That's why it's important. If it is known to you, you can have a foundation on what to believe. Satan can only win in areas where we let him. Because Romans 8 verse 37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not strong in ourselves, but we are if we have our faith in Jesus. A godly person who wishes to do good and stick to it submits to the guidance of God's word and takes steps to make that familiar to them. How? Psalm 1 verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As you sit and as you muse and as you meditate and as you think on the word of God, not your plans for time and for whatever, but what God has, his delight is in the Lord, and in his law does he meditate. We may judge our own spiritual state by asking, what is the law of God to us? What account do we make of it? What place does it have in us? The entire affection which a good man has for the law of God can be seen in his delight. When you see somebody delighting in the Word of God, wow, that is a happy person, because he's exhibiting his faith, his undying faith in what God has said and what God has given to us. Do you love his word? Amen. I love that. Ignorance of his word, though, you know, is no excuse. Like when I was a police officer and I'd stop somebody and they'd say, well, I didn't see the sign. Does that mean he's free from getting a ticket? The speed limit is so, you know. Anyway, Joshua was concerned about how he would measure up against Moses as he was now the leader of Israel. And God gave him words of assurance, but some words of advice as well. Look at this now in Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Just remember that. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that he has written therein. And then, just that's important, that word. And then, not until then, the Lord will make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success comes if and when. Right? And then the words of advice, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be ye dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. His promises are there to support us, to bolster our faith, our action, because of what God has said. Change our attitudes toward God's word. Start really believing it. Start acting on it, knowing that the source of God's word is our strength. God knows how to get you from where you are to where you ought to be. All you need is a word from God. And we have it. Where? Here it is. His word. That will help us to overcome. Follow it and obey it. Instead of taking time to worry over situations, take that time and meditate on God's word instead. And what a difference that will be. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2, is another illustration I want you to be aware of. Here it is, verse 2. Messengers told Jehoshaphat, a large army from Edom, east of the Dead Sea, has invaded our country. They have already reached En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he asked the Lord what to do. And he told the people of Judah to go without eating, to show their sorrow. See, that helps to bring focus. When you go without eating, when you tarry, pray, and that's another subject. And they immediately left for Jerusalem to ask the Lord for his help. And then look at verse 14. The Lord's Spirit suddenly spoke to Jahaziel, a Levite from Asaph's clan. Then Jahaziel said, Your Majesty, and everyone from Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord says that you don't need to be afraid or let this powerful army discourage you. God will fight on your side. What a promise. Verse 17, you won't even have to fight, here it says. Just take your positions and watch the Lord rescue you from your enemy. Don't be afraid. Just do it as I've told you. And you, as you march tomorrow, the Lord will be there with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed low to the ground, and everyone worshiped the Lord. As a demonstration of their faith in what God had said to them in that situation, they had victory. The Lord will speak to you and give you directions, no matter what you're facing. Just meditate on His word, and He will see you through any circumstance in life. Whatever you're facing, always know there isn't a problem in life that the word does not provide an answer for. There's nothing that you will face that can't be answered and direction can't be found from God's word. If you have His word in your heart, He will quicken things to you when the problems come up. And it, the word, if it's not in your heart and mind, then where are you going to get the answers from? See, knowing God's word is so important. The Lord can make scriptures real to each of us and make them apply to our situation as we face them. You know, many promises in the scripture were given to others, right? But when they're made real to us by His Spirit, they can apply to us. We can launch out in faith, knowing what He has done before can be applied to our lives now. The principle remains the same. Again, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they were written for our admonition, for our benefit. Proverbs 4:20, there's another good session. My son, now look at this next word, attend to my words. Incline with your heart and not just your mind, eh? It says, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Look at 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health for all our flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We can hear what people are saying, and it goes in one ear and out the other, but we must attend unto His words if we ever expect to get any benefit from them. We can read also a lot of things, and it doesn't form much in our concepts, but it maybe can, and soon forgets even some of the things we. But we must make a change and pay attention to His word. That's why the Bible says, attend, Proverbs 4:20. Focus on His words and concentrate on the message that is there for you. It is only then that you will get the intended benefit from God's word as you focus. The Holy Spirit will embed the word in your heart and accomplish His purpose for His glory. His words will be health to our flesh, like it says in verse 22. And for out of it are the issues of life, verse 23. So there is not only just the spiritual life, there's the temporal life, there's the emotional life that is affected by what the word says. And if we have it to depend on, we are winners. Look at Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There it is, folks. Spiritually minded. That's where life and peace comes. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, no one can serve two masters, folks. You either serve the Lord or you serve yourself or the enemy. Verse 8 says, so then they that are all in the flesh cannot please God. But look at verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9. This is such an encouraging word that should always be in our hearts, in our thoughts. But ye are not in the flesh. Oh, what a place. You are not of the flesh. It's telling us carnally minded is death. That's when you're in the right? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you're not if the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not if you're a Christian and have yielded your life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are a born-again believer. So you are not subject to all those kind of thoughts without having strength to overcome. We can't have discouragements and bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and depression ruling our hearts and minds. We can't have that. These are forms of death for us. And we are certainly not meditating on God's word if we're walking in those kind of emotions and aspects of life. True? You can't have bitterness. You can't have unforgiveness if you're walking in the word of God. Change from planting those conditions in your garden and move over into endeavors that will bring life and peace, as the word says. Grace, 2 Peter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's where it is, the knowledge of God. So, if you want a permanent change in your life, this one can only come from an envelopment of and an indoctrination by the Word of God. That's it. In our everyday life. The question to all is, how many hours a day are spent watching TV or reading other books or doing other things that count not for eternity? Are we so engrossed in those things that it smothers out the aspect of having the prophet from God's word being with us, saturating yours, right? John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh. And the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Where is your mind? Is it stayed on the Lord? I want to finish with this. Turn with me. Psalm 19, verse 7. For a few verses. This is an exhortation for us to take seriously. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. These are nuggets, folks. Just enjoy them. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things that we don't know about God's word become secrets to us, and we can be involved in things that are wrong if we don't know the guidance from the word of God. Keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now, here is the crux. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.